if you're new to my page, I got married in 55 days to someone I thought was the love of my life, and it ended up not being true. And last year, the divorce got finalized, and some of you who've been following me for a while, you know parts or a lot of parts of my story, both as I used to share about being in a marriage, but then also sharing about navigating the divorce. And today I'm actually here to talk about the things that I was wrong about, okay? I cannot preach accountability and learning from our mistakes, or let's say it like this, learning from our experiences. I don't really like the word mistake, because if we don't make mistakes, if we don't go through specific experience that the world tends to call mistakes because they did not work out the way we intended them to, then we don't get to learn, we don't get to evolve, we don't get to change, we don't get to improve. So today, I'm here to talk about the things that I feel I was wrong about, that I look at differently today. And I want to share them with you. So when you are dating and choosing the person that you want to marry, you are more observant. You think twice, okay? You don't throw yourself into something just because it seems right or it feels right in that moment or during that time. Because truth is, I've never been the person to throw myself into things. But when I met my ex, I kind of did, because it seemed to be everything that I had ever wanted. And that's what often happens when we've been through a lot of bad dating, when we've been through some toxic relationships, we tend to believe that once we've started working on ourselves and becoming more aware of what happened to us in the past, that we are aware of what's in front of us, but sometimes we still can be fooled. So I want to share the things that I was wrong about that can hopefully help you, because there are definitely things that I'm going to look for now and change now as I am transitioning into a new phase of my own life. So the first thing that I was wrong about is time, okay? It truly takes time to get to know someone. It truly takes time to get to know someone. Just because Grandfather Bill and Grandma Claire got married fast and stayed together forever, it doesn't mean that it was healthy. And it doesn't mean that it's gonna work for you. Of course, there are exceptions. But as a rule, it does take time to really get to know someone, okay? So that's the first thing. Many times we tend to say, and especially now with having like Love is Blind available, seeing how fast they're moving in their relationships, we tend to think like, when I meet the right person, it's not about time. But regardless of which kind of person it is, it takes time for you to get to know them. It takes time for you to see them in different elements. How do they respond when things are tough? How are they going to interact with your friends and family, not just during a month or two or three, but how are they continuously and consistently going to interact with the people in your life? How do they respond to situations that occur in your life that happens between the two of you? And for you to be able to see the person in his or her fullness, you have to let some time pass by. Because otherwise, what can happen is that they sell you a sob story, right? They sell you a sob story and they tell you, oh, this happened with all of my exes. I've never had any luck when it comes to dating. I'm a really good person. These are my values, right? It's really important that your values align, but someone can sell you a story or lie to you about their values. And this is why talk is cheap, right? You have to see it with their actions, in their actions, through their actions. This is also a reason why love bombing happens, because you're in your little bubble and you get sucked into the potential reality of what you could have with this person. So when you rush something, when you rush with dating, Even when you're dating, like when you're dating, you want to take time. You want it to take time to get to know someone. You don't have to go out on 3 days with them every week. Go out with them on one date, 1 week, for example, and let that week pass by. See how they interact with you. See how you feel in your own body when you're intensely dating someone. And even when you're talking to them every day on the phone or on FaceTime, you are you're in that dopamine rush. You're experiencing those endorphins and you're not able to think clearly. I know when we're getting to know someone, we want to spend as much time with them as possible. But the best thing to do is to create a little bit of space so you can think more clear-headedly, if that's even a word. So you can be more clear-headed in the process. When you rush to and when you don't allow time to pass, you can fall for their masks. If you haven't heard me talk about masks before, a mask is something that a person puts on to appear to be a person that they're actually not. So if you tell someone, I'm looking for a very empathetic, hardworking person, they'll put on the mask that appears to be an empathetic, hardworking person, but in reality, they're not this person. Does that make sense? So with time, they can't uphold those masks, which is why you want to let time go by before you decide to be with a person. Make sense? Because you want to get to know the person for who they truly are and not who they appear to be. People are good at acting. And in this world where we have a lot of liars, we have mental health issues, not everybody becomes an extremely empathetic people pleaser. A lot of people become more narcissistic. All of us have some narcissistic traits, but overly narcissistic. Some people are psychopaths. And so they can mask that. They're really good at that. So let time pass. I used to believe that time doesn't matter, that what matters is the time you spend with a person, because I used to say some people are together for 2 years and they still don't know each other, whereas some people can be together for a few months and they know each other more. And to some extent, what may be true is that if you've been together for a shorter period of time and spent more time together, sure, you may have gone through some experiences, but what's really true there is you've talked more. If you've spent way more time together in a short period of time, you've talked more. So again, there is an illusion that you have the same amount of knowledge about each other in a short period of time in comparison to, or when you think about someone who's been together longer, because again, it's the time spent with each other. It's not only the time spent and the time you've spent talking with that person, it is the experiences you've had. It is the situations you've seen that person in. It is the things you've been through together. And even if you have talked with each other every day for the last 3 months and dated each other a lot and spent a lot of time together, that doesn't mean that you have gone through experiences that actually shows the character of the other person. So that should probably explain it. And that's where I was wrong, because I thought, okay, if I spend enough time with this person in a shorter period of time, I'll know them more than someone who's been together for 2 years, but that hasn't spent that time together. Maybe they haven't spent that time together. Maybe they haven't talked as much, but maybe they have seen each other in more elements. Because more time has passed, more things have happened, okay? So the first one is time. The second thing I was wrong about was friends and family. Because I had seen so much toxicity around people sharing about their personal details when it comes to their own relationships with friends and family and how toxic it could become, I adopted the mindset of, we have to keep it separate, because if I say things about, I have the balcony open, I think like an ice, a little ice thing fell down. If I share too much about this person, then my friends and family will form an opinion. And if we stay together, they're not gonna like them. And then also I wanna be the one that makes the choice when it comes to who I'm gonna be with. And then also, they're going to give me unsolicited advice many times based on their own wounding and their past experiences, which I still believe to be true. But here's what I have shifted when it comes to friends and family, not the entire thing. And this is why. So your friends and family know you the best. And if they have concerns, you should listen to them, because they're on the outside looking in. So they may see things that you don't see. They know you better than you know yourself many times, because you're probably going to be in that little love bubble, right? So you're not going to think clearly. You're not going to see clearly. So you don't have to listen to them. You don't have to share everything. I still believe there should be boundaries, and there are some things that is unsolicited advice still to this day. I believe so, because a lot of us will get triggered when a friend or a family member, they go through something that we've been through in the past where we wish we would have handled differently, or that kind of angers us because someone in the past treated us that way, okay? But you do want to share an overview. You want to share some details. You want to get their feedback, their input on this person, on this relationship, on yourself, right? Are they telling you that you're really, really different? What concerns do they have? What questions do they have? I also used to think that, because again, I grew up watching romantic movies, I didn't really see a lot of healthy relationships around me. I used to think, well, it's me who's marrying this person. I don't believe that today. So, because I want my friends and family involved in my life as much as possible. So if I create too much of a separation, I'll end up spending most or all of my time with my partner, but not being as involved with friends and family. So that's a thing to consider as well. It's not just you who's marrying your partner. If you want your family and friends included, you're kind of, you know, you have to consider that too. Okay, of course, within limits and boundaries. And the same thing goes for your potential partner's family. Would you want a big family? Would you want them to be a part of your life? If so, it's crucial that kind of everybody gets on board, that everybody is agreeing that this is what's healthy, and that, of course, sometimes doesn't happen. But think of it again, the big picture. How do you envision your life long term? Not just what are you feeling in the present moment? Okay, because also chances are that this potential partner wants you all to themselves. So they may even say things like, your friends and family are toxic, pay attention to this, you don't have any boundaries when it comes to this person. And they'll start planting thoughts in your mind or ideas in your mind because they want to isolate you. They want you away from your friends and family, and they want you all to themselves. When you're separated and isolated from friends and family, it's way easier to manipulate and control you. All right? So that's the part about friends and family. And the third and the last lesson that I have gotten going through a divorce, having been married for 5 years, is that sometimes we trick ourselves into believing that someone is God sent. This was a hard lesson for me. As someone who truly is someone who is divinely connected, who believes and knows God exists, I used to believe that my ex-husband was God sent because of this. Because I stopped obsessing with the fact that I was single, because I decided I would not receive less than treatment anymore, because I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm gonna give it up to God, to the universe, whatever you choose to call it, and I'm gonna be divinely guided to my person. This is what made everything so hard for me to accept in the beginning stages of my divorce, because I truly thought that I had been guided by God to this person. Now, we want to be able to separate between, so again, what I want to say with that is, even though I took specific action to allow myself to be guided, meaning I surrendered, I stopped being on dating apps like that, I didn't really accept less than treatment from people around me. I was just determined that the next person that I meet is going to be my future husband. And I just kind of let it go, okay? So I took the necessary action, the appropriate action to open myself up for that to happen. But the thing is, and which I talk a lot when it comes to healing, sometimes we utilize the right tools, we use the right techniques, we use the strategies, but there's something beneath, deeper inside of us that is still controlling us. Our limiting beliefs, our patterns, our deep-rooted perceptions that we're not aware of, our attachment style, right? What is your attachment style? For majority of my life, I had a disorganized attachment style. And this kind of brings a lot of confusion to our lives because we're not really able to decipher what's healthy and what's not. With that being said, I thought my ex-husband was God-sent. And sometimes when we truly know what we're looking for and when we know what we're avoiding and we kind of lean back and surrender into the feminine, we can fall for the wrong person, so to speak, because when you're still wounded, but you're not aware of the fact that you're wounded, you can fall prey for the wrong person because of what I talked about in the beginning. People are good at pretending to be someone they're not. And if you think this is a person sent by God or the universe has aligned this person for you and to you, and you don't let enough time pass, and you still have some deep-seated wounding that you may not be aware of, you can fall for the person that appears to be the right person, thinking they're sent by God, thinking this is what the universe has in store for you, but it's actually not. This is a person who's potentially preying on your insecurities. This is a person you potentially shared everything about yourself and your past. So they appear to be the right person for you and to you because they talk well, because they present themselves in a particular manner that makes you believe that this is the right person. So just because you take the necessary actions or you kind of shift your mindset when it comes to dating, it does not mean that the person that walks into your life that appears to be everything you've ever wanted, that appears not to be like your exes, that appears not to be toxic, it does not mean they're not. It does not mean they are that person. Okay, this again, it put me in a confused state when I was going through my divorce because I was like, well, how can I really trust God? How can I really trust the divine if I did trust in that and it led me to this? And I had to come to the realization that it wasn't God sent. It was an illusion in my head. It was me thinking it was. Okay, and then I'm also at the point of not believing there is only one right person for us. There are a lot of people that could be compatible matches to you, okay? There are a lot of people in this world that you could work well with, because if it were the case that only one person will work for you, then how come widows, for example, they end up finding meeting a great love after their spouse passes away? Like, there is someone out there, but there are also someone's out there that could work for you and to you that's right for you. But again, you have to let time pass so you can truly see who they are. You have to also involve friends and family, not into every detail. You have to have boundaries, but they know you best. And is this person trying to separate you from the things that matter to you and from the people that are closest to your life? That's a red flag. There's a lot of things that you have to see. And finally, just because it appears to be God sent, it does not mean it is. Okay? So those are the three things that I was wrong about when it comes to dating and marriage. And like I said, who would I be not to learn from my experiences if that's what I preach? So hopefully me being transparent and vulnerable with this helps you, or helps you have a good conversation with your kid, with a friend, with your client, with someone you meet in your life, or again, you. So if there is someone you think needs to hear this message, please tag them in this video or share it, and make sure you stay tuned for more videos. I'm sending you so much love.